Welcome to the HMO Success Podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Whitaker-Large, and I'm here to help you create a profitable HMO portfolio. Whether you're a brand new investor or you've been at it for a number of years, my podcast is here to help you make the most from your business, whether that is starting up, scaling, or systemizing. Please hit the subscribe button to make sure you never miss an episode. And if you've got an awe-inspiring project, an inspirational investing story, or a unique approach to HMOs, I'd love to hear from you. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the HMO Success Podcast. My name is Wendy Whitaker-Large, and I interview some of the most interesting and creative people involved in the HMO industry. And this week, I'm really pleased to have a very special guest who adds flair, color, design, and creativity to your HMO. At least she can do that. Her name is Helen Saunders. Hello, Helen.
Hi, Wendy. Thank you for having me. How are you?
It's very, very good to have you on today. I'm very well, Helen. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Very good.
Now, Helen, we were just talking before we started the recording about you're not a tax specialist, you're not a mortgage broker, you're not advising people on the finances of their business. But yet, what you do actually adds a huge amount of value to their property. So can you just tell me a little bit in a couple of sentences, what do you do and how do you add that value to a property?
Right. Well, if you've got an empty property, I will go into it, fill it with furniture, soft furnishings, accessories, art, mirrors, decorate the rooms as in with the soft furnishings, make them look attractive, and it does attract buyers.
So are you mostly working in properties where people are flipping the properties? They've bought the property, they've refurbished it, and now they want to sell it on?
I work with all properties, Wendy. I work with properties that are staged to rent. I did a couple of properties a while ago, three properties with another stager that was for polo players to come over from America, and they were staged for a 3-month rental. So they had to be staged as a home as well for their families. Also, I will do serviced accommodation.
So lots of different varieties of different types of houses.
Yeah. And HMOs as well.
So what do you find is the hardest thing about being a property stager? And what do you find is hard for people who are trying to do it, who don't have your skills and expertise? So somebody like myself, who is a property developer, and I look at an empty room and think, yep, that's done. And now I've got to fill it with furniture. And I'm thinking, where do I begin? What do you come across that people say is the hardest thing about this process?
Getting that bit right. And I think if you're unsure, don't even attempt it yourself. For the stress, the time, get stager in. Get stager in and it will be done properly and it will be done to the high standard that you do want.
So you call yourself a property stager. Now, how is that different from an interior designer?
Oh, that's quite a bit different. I've been asked many times if I'm an interior designer. Interior designer will basically design everything, put all the, you know, from decor and the furnishings as well. Sometimes they won't do the furnishings. It will just be the decor and bringing it all together. Whereas I go in to an empty room, put the furniture in, make sure it all matches, it looks good. And then my day is done with that. Obviously, an interior designer will spend weeks preparing, making sure everything's to the taste or, you know, to their taste for the client.
Do you find that you sometimes go into properties and think, ooh, these are strange colours that they've chosen, or if you like, the design of the colour palette is perhaps either not to your taste or you think it's a little bit unusual, and you then have to kind of work around that because, as you say, you haven't designed it, but you're there to make the most of the space?
Definitely. Sometimes you walk in and it's a bit like, oh no, what am I going to do with that? But that's part and parcel of the job, because at the end of the day, it's my job to bring out the best in that property for the client using their budget, whether they're low end or high end. You've got to make the best of how that property presents, which is, you know, obviously how a stager works.
So do you presumably have quite a lot of resources or places that you can go to find your resources? All those, as you say, the mirrors, the artwork, the furniture, the accessories. Do you buy all of these things and use them, or do you have somewhere that you can go to rent them? How does that work for you?
Well, what I do is I've built up my own I've got a storage facility, so I've built up my own stock. I have a skeleton stock, which I use for the properties that it suits. So obviously some furniture won't suit one property, so I will use the furniture accordingly, depending on the style of the property. Each property I do, I will then go and buy a few more pieces so that every property does look different and it is bespoke to that customer.
Helen, tell me, what is property staging all about?
Well, property staging is the art of making a home the most presentable you can to attract the most buyers. If it's for sale, if it's for rental, to attract the most rental income.
And do you find that actually is the result? How can you tell the impact that your work has?
Oh, definitely, definitely, definitely. Every single HMO that I've done has achieved higher rental than they set out to achieve. And even when they told me what they were looking to achieve, I said, no, you won't get that. That's too high. And they've actually achieved above it.
Wow.
I did a while ago, 3-bed house, totally empty, very plain, decorated. And it was on the market for $290,000. I went in and staged it. It was £3,000 to stage it. All the furniture, it looked amazing. It was to stage for 8 weeks, but it actually sold within 10 days and went for £30,000 more.
Amazing. So that return on investment was 10 times
what
that client paid out.
Yeah, definitely.
So Helen, how did you get into this whole world of property staging?
Well, I've always loved everything interior and I'm obsessed with houses, house prices all over the country. Everywhere I go, I always look up the house prices. It just interests me so much. I've spent years doing my own house up. I've moved a few times, constantly doing up my own houses, changing things around. It does get a bit expensive. And always helping my friends out. I started my business in lockdown and I thought with all the experience that I've built up over the years, I can do this. And I haven't looked back. And I thought, why not help other people? Why not help them make money? Help them, you know, in areas that they're stuck in. And I love what I do.
That's tremendous. So before you started your business, what were you doing?
I've been at home with my children for a few years and had little jobs. I started a cleaning business a few years ago. And it just didn't, I didn't have my heart in it. Didn't have my heart in it. So this has always been my passion.
So it sounds like you've got a real love for making an interior attractive, warm, friendly, inviting, well-organized, well-designed, somewhere that people look at and go, wow, what a fantastic room, what a fantastic house. That's the kind of magic that you bring to the projects that you do. And tell me about how you go about making that change. If you take a room that's perhaps rather bland, rather empty, it might have some colour on the walls, it might have some feature walls, or it might be in good condition. But how do you then go about taking it from that sort of blank canvas to being something where somebody would go in and think they've walked into the pages of an interior design magazine?
Well, I think once I've looked at a room, I just get an idea of what colours, sometimes to my own detriment, because I go on a mission for, right, I want this colour, and it does all come together in the end. But I have given myself a headache a few times because I've been so fixated on it's got to be like that. Everything's come out all right in the end. But sometimes I make my life harder because I want it so perfect. But no, it's just, I mean, it's what you work with. I think normally when you go in a room and you see what, if it's blank walls, it's easy. It's all my decision for what colours I go with. Obviously, if there is a feature wall, then you do have to tone it in with the colours, but that's fine.
Mm-hmm. You almost have turned your hobby into a business. When you started, you loved doing this to your own properties. You obviously have an eye for it. You like looking through maybe magazines or watching property programmes, seeing how people have transformed their houses. But you must also sometimes see where people have made mistakes in staging. For people who are listening today, what kind of things do you see that you think are very simple tweaks that people could make where they're maybe making a mistake in staging their properties?
I think especially on the beds, when a lot of landlords do their own beds, they just, maybe the cushions will be too flat and they put the wrong colours together. That actually gives me a headache when I see things like that.
You're so sensitive to it. And do you find sometimes that people perhaps underestimate the power of, as you say, just some of the accessories, that actually making the accessories the right shape, the right style, the right kind of contrast, not in just in terms of the texture or colour, but maybe pattern. You've got the eye to kind of bring all of this together. But for us who are much less experienced, and perhaps that's not where our skill set lies, I'm sure that you must be able to compare two rooms and think that one works, that one doesn't work. But there must be, as well as being a kind of artistic side to it, there's a bit of science behind it as well, isn't there?
Oh, definitely. It's hard for me because I didn't realise it was a natural thing. I know if you put a big mirror on a wall, it makes the room look bigger. And I thought that everyone knew that. So it's been hard for me. It's been a learning curve for me, realising that not everyone can see what I see.
Yes. You've got a natural ability to be able to perhaps imagine how a room could look once you filled it with furniture and decor and accessories. But for many people, that ability to envisage what the room will look like is very, very difficult. I've met a number of people who just can't envisage that, you know, an empty three-bed property could be a 5 or 6-bed HMO. They can't see how that could actually work, and that with some very simple upgrades, you can create a beautiful home for tenants to live in. And they find it very hard to see that. So you must come across quite a lot of clients who themselves struggle with that process.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the percentage is quite high. It's something like 92% of people can't actually envision themselves in a property. They can't see what the room would look like. And that's quite a lot of people.
When you're staging a room, clearly, obviously, with the bedrooms, as you say, the bed is imperative. What tips could you give to somebody who's looking to maybe stage a property themselves? They might not have access to you, or they might decide they're going to give it a go themselves. What kind of tips would you give to them when they're, let's say, staging the bed, for example, which is a real key one when it comes to HMOs?
Definitely. And it isn't just about staging the bed. It's where you place the bed in the room. Because when you walk in a room, a lot of people think, oh, the bed can go over on that wall, bedside's either side. And actually, you're making the room look smaller. A couple of times I've placed the bed under the window. So you're looking at it as you come in the room, and it's made the room look twice the size, which is what staging's all about. It is to show the space and to show how you can have a room.
So would you recommend that somebody maybe plays around a little bit with the placement of the bed? I know it's a bit of a kind of, it's a heavy object to move, but if they've got some help and they can do it safely, you might say to somebody, well, don't just accept that that wall is the right wall to put the bed against. Move it and see what it looks like in a different position so that you can compare and contrast those two positions and get a third party to come and have a look and say which of those positions makes the room look bigger.
Definitely.
Now, okay, so that's a really good tip, making sure that you actually put the furniture in the right place in the room. What about dressing the bed in terms of coverings, colours, cushions? Can you give us some hints and tips on that? Because I've seen some great beds. You look at the photo and think, wow, that looks very inviting. And I've seen other beds which are either underdressed or, frankly, sometimes overdressed. And I've seen these particularly sort of, you know, American kind of beds where they seem to have 6 layers of cushions. And you think, how would I ever get into that bed? There's too many cushions on the bed. So let's take an HMO room as an example. How would you make sure that that bed is dressed appropriately for the HMO room?
Keep it simple. Keep it simple, because an HMO room isn't going to, well, some are quite big, but on the whole, they're not huge rooms. So someone will be living in that space, obviously, while they're not at work. So the space has got to look as comfortable and inviting and not too overcrowded. If it's too fussy on the bed, that's going to make everything else seem, yeah, too crowded, like it's going to come in on you. So if you keep it simple, stick a throw with colour coordinating accessories, but keep it really simple.
In other words, not using perhaps too many colours, maybe just sticking to 2 or 3 colours, or maybe having a couple of neutral colours and then a brighter colour maybe to highlight, just to give it a kind of a little pop of colour. Would you suggest something like that?
Definitely. And I think when you've got an HMO, you're appealing to the masses, but you shouldn't have every single room the same. Not only were your photos not appear the same. But every room should be a little bit different and have a different colour in each room.
So somebody who's perhaps doing this themselves, of course, this is going to, unless they're thinking of developing quite a large portfolio, of course, this is the downside, isn't it, to doing it yourself, that you have to have a large kit box, or as you've got a shed where you're going to store all of these items. Because for many HMOs, of course, as soon as they have had the photos done and they've got the publicity ready, they're going to remove the bedding. You know, they'll remove some of those cushions and some of those accessories. Some of them get left in, but many of them get removed because the tenants bring their own bedding. So, of course, using somebody like you allows the landlord not to have to worry about all those accessories. So in terms of what you do, Helen, how much of it would you leave in the room and how much would you then remove before the tenancy begins?
Well, something I'd recommended to an HMO landlord, because he was umming and ahhing, he's like, oh, I don't want all these cushions left behind. I don't, what do I do with them all? I'm not leaving them for the tenants. And I said to him, well, if you leave the quilt, all the bedding, leave everything as it is, you can charge a higher rental because the tenant hasn't got to supply anything. They can walk in, it's as it is. And if they choose to not have those accessories or furnishings there, that's up to them. But you've made your money back in by charging a higher rental in the first place.
So, in fact, you can pass that cost on to the tenant.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a great tip. Okay, I like that one. I think that's a good idea. And certainly I find that with some of our tenants who are maybe coming from abroad, coming from overseas to work in the area, they don't necessarily have their own bedding. So that's an advantage for them to come to a room that's already dressed. A bit like a hotel room. You wouldn't expect to provide your own bedding in a hotel room. So,
well, hopefully it will look like a hotel room. But they don't want the hassle of having to go and buy bedding, and everybody wants it to look nice. So if your tenant doesn't need, if they're busy working, they don't need the bother of having to go out and source the stuff or the worry of making it match so that it looks nice for them when they come in from work.
Now, what about the communal areas? Because obviously the bedrooms gets a lot of attention because we know that the bedrooms is going to be where the tenants are actually individually renting that room. That's going to be their private space. What can you do, let's say, in the kitchen where there's already quite a lot of furniture because you've got the units, you've got the cupboards, you've got the appliances. What can you do in a kitchen to make it a bit more appealing and to, again, give it that interior design kind of magic?
Yeah, and the homely feel. Always put a nice clock on the wall, not a cheap clock, a nice clock, so that it does feel like home. You know, put your plants around, have your nice little accessories so that it does look homely.
And what about the practicality of that? Don't you think that the tenants aren't necessarily going to look after the plants? They're not going to wash the plants, are they? Fake plants. Okay, now you're talking. Helen, now you're talking. Yes, absolutely. And also, can you tell us a little bit about scale? So I myself have seen where people have used the wrong scale of items in a room. Can you give us some ideas about a clock? Well, there are millions of clocks on the market. How do we choose the right clock?
Well, if you're going to choose a larger clock, then you make sure you put it on the big empty wall. If you've got a little space that a clock could go on, then you choose a smaller one. You have got to do it to scale because you don't want to overwhelm the room. And it's the same with the plants. Now, if you've got a big empty windowsill, you can put a larger plant or three smaller plants so that it does look attractive.
So you're talking here about using the power of three, which is obviously a well-used design technique to put three things together, to group things together. And you're also talking about the appropriateness of using things to the right scale for the background, if you like, in which they're going to be viewed. So that's vital, I think. Now, I think for somebody who perhaps doesn't have that kind of expertise and background, somebody like yourself will probably be able to see instantly whether an item works or not. And of course, that's the benefit of using somebody like yourself who's got that kind of background. But some people might be listening and thinking, well, you know, why should I pay Helen, for example, to stage my property when I could perhaps have a brochure printed with furniture superimposed? I could do this by the magic of technology. Why would I want to pay somebody like Helen to come into my property and stage it? And what would you say to them?
Well, it works on a brochure if you've got a brochure in your hand or you're looking at a brochure online. But when you actually visit that property, it's all gone out the window. there's no point, because you've still got the same people, the same clients, prospective purchasers that are now looking at an empty room, an empty property, and they've still got the same problems looking at around them. Oh, where am I going to put that? Oh, no, will that fit in there? Oh, how big's the furniture? Oh, do you think the furniture will fit in there? Does it need to be this size? You've still got the same problems. You're almost sort of prolonging it. Whereas if you stage it to begin with, your photos are your photos to go on your brochures. And when the clients look at the properties, you can see what exactly is that you will get.
Yeah, brilliant.
And I think they're buying into a lifestyle as well. When you've got a purchaser that looks at a house that's got lovely furniture in and done very nice, they want that lifestyle. They're buying into that lifestyle. Whereas if you're looking at the brochure online, oh, yeah, well, I want that lifestyle. But when you get there, oh, what am I going to do now?
Yes. They need to see it actually in situ in the actual environment, don't they, to actually understand how they're going to interact with, at the end of the day, with the property. They're going to be living in the property, sleeping, cooking, washing. They need to understand and I suppose get that visual image of what it's going to actually feel like when they're living there.
Definitely. I did have a conversation a while ago with an estate agent that uses VR headsets, and he was adamant, you don't need staging. We've got VR headsets now. The clients come in, they walk in, they can see what it looks like, but it's still not the same. Because when the VR headsets are taken away, it's all gone again.
Yeah, I can see that. So how long do you stage a property for?
Initially, it's 8 weeks.
And do you find that in that time, the sale will occur, or the property will be filled, or the, when you say it's initially for 8 weeks, I mean, what's your result rate during those 8 weeks?
I haven't had one that's taken longer than, I think, about 4 weeks.
Amazing.
I did do, but then I couldn't go back and get the furniture till 8 weeks. So it had to stay there for 8 weeks. That was just one of those. I did do an HMO. I did it over the Thursday and Friday, and I had to go back on the Monday just to do the last little bits. And when I went back on the Monday, two of the rooms had gone over the weekend, so I couldn't even go back in there.
Wow, that's amazing. So it really does make a massive difference to the way that people view the space and how they kind of enjoy it, I suppose.
Oh, definitely.
So what about a situation where somebody, you know, goes to view a house, let's say they're buying this property and you've staged it and you've got all this lovely furniture and you've got pictures and mirrors and accessories and things, and they want to buy it. What do you do then?
They're more than welcome. Because it means I can go out and buy all new stuff.
Very good. And then that must make it a bit easier for you then, in terms of storage, if they
I
want to buy it.
Sometimes I think, oh, I like that coffee table, or oh no, I was going to put that coffee table in that place. But no, it makes it easier for me because I haven't got to go back and load it all back up again.
Yes,
and sort
very
that
good.
Out. Yeah, and it's the, I like good. Going shopping as well, so
that suits you too. Excellent. Well, Helen, I think it's been very, very interesting hearing from you about how staging works, what the process is, how you go into a property and kind of look at it and think about what can go where. If somebody would like to contact you, we'll put your details at the bottom of the podcast notes so they can contact you. Do you work full-time, part-time? You know, have you got take days and times that you prefer people to contact you?
Oh, no, I work full-time.
Full-time. Great. So any time would be possible to, and what's the best thing? Give you a ring, send you an email.
Give me a call or send me an email. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and obviously I've got my website as well.
What's your sort of perimeter? How far do you travel?
Well, I'm in Kent. I'm from London. I'm in Kent and I cover London and the southeast, but I'm also in a group of three other girls. So there's four of us. And we are the property staging group. And we cover the whole country.
Amazing.
So
amazing.
They're all over the country. We've come together. We all started our staging businesses at the same time. And we've come together and we work together.
Great. So there's always somebody who could stage, even if it's not you personally.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful, fantastic. Well, listen, thank you very, very much indeed for being a podcast guest today on the show. Really interesting to talk to you. It's opened my eyes actually to the importance of staging, and I'll certainly try and make sure that you know what I'm doing is in line with some of your ideas as well. And presumably on your website, Helen, which I'm afraid to say I haven't had time to go on to, but I will go on to, do you give some ideas about how people can do this themselves if they want to do some basic property staging?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Right, let me just your details on the website.
And it's all the photos of what I've done. It's me, my business. I had to get my website done because I'm not very technical, as you've probably gathered.
Well, listen, thank you very much for being on today. Really, really good to meet you. Please do stay in touch and keep us informed of your progress. And Definitely. Yeah, send me any updates or whatever you want. Love to hear from you.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome.
Thank you.
You take care. Have a great day.
Take care, Wendy. Bye.
Bye now. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the HMO Success Podcast. If you'd like to know more about how you can create a profitable HMO business, please visit our website, hmosuccess.co.uk, to find out more. We have plenty of free tools and information for you there, and also on our Facebook group, The Ultimate HMO Success System. We look forward to connecting with you very soon. Thanks for listening.